You know, one of the things that some of the prophets had a problem with Israel with, in addition to some of those things that were mentioned as being sins that her sister Sodom had also committed, was the idea that they, I don't know exactly how to put this, they were kind of tired of worship. They found that worship had become tiresome to them. The routine of it, of doing the same thing. And you know, some of those same things are said today, especially when we talk to people about taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, on every Sunday, every week. They say, well, how can you take that every week? I mean, doesn't that get old and it loses its meaning? And, we take it only once every 3 months, and that way it's still a special occasion when we take it. Well, the fact of the matter is, whenever we think about and remember the Lord's sacrifice for us, it's a special occasion. If I'm laying in bed and begin to think about the sacrifice that Jesus made, that's still a special time of meditation and thought to me. But to say that, well, if you do the Lord's Supper every Sunday, it will lose its meaning. I wonder if those folks would be upset if their employer decided, you know what, paying you every pay period is just getting really tiresome. So, you know what we'll do is I'll just pay you once every 3 months. And we won't worry about paying you all those other times. That way it'll be more meaningful to you when you get a paycheck. Now, I don't mean by that they save up your pay for 3 months and give it to you all at once. I mean, we'll just skip those other paychecks and just give you one every 3 months. That way it'll be more meaningful. Well, we know that's ridiculous. Well, what about other important things that happen in our lives? Or even unimportant things? Do you know how much people fuss and complain and gripe if their favorite television show skips a week? Well, my show went wrong. The president was giving the State of the Union address, and I didn't get to watch my show that night. Or they had some baseball game on, or the Olympics were on, and I missed my show that week. And boy, when it's off for the off season for 2 or 3 months, or, you know, 5 months or however long, you know, all the, and it's gone for several weeks at a time. Boy, they really have, I don't want to see my show every week. If we could get people to have the kind of enthusiasm for worshiping God that they have for their favorite television show, then we'd really have something then. Boy, folks will cancel their trip. They'll change their plans. Met somebody in the grocery store the other day, and I've got to hurry and get out of here. I've got to get home. My show's going to come on in a few minutes. And they were trying to rush everybody that was in the line. Come on, hurry up so I get home and watch my show. Maybe it's just a matter of priorities. But it seems a lot of times when it comes to worship that we don't appreciate what worship is and what it means to our lives. And a lot of times, we're guilty of rushing through worship. We wait till the very last minute to get there, and all of us have times where we're just running late for one reason or another. Maybe because at the last minute somebody says, Ron, can you run, pick up somebody for... You don't have a choice then. But we all have times where we are running late. And sometimes that can't be helped. But we need to start thinking about, you know, why? If it's that I'm always running in at the last minute, and then as soon as the closing prayer is over, I'm zipping out again, have I really come to worship God? Or did I come like so many do to work? They punch their time clock at the beginning of the day, try to avoid actually doing anything all day, and then punch the clock again at the end of the day and hope to get paid full credit for it. And sometimes I think that's the way we treat God. Like we're coming, I come to church, I punched my time clock, but we have got to get over that. Worship has got to be a matter of an intimate relationship between us and our Creator. It's got to be us worshiping Him. Not just a duty that, well, I've got to be there. Someone observed that worship has become entertain, but don't detain me time. Don't hold me up. Don't keep me from anything. And I know that we do have other things going on in our lives. And I know that it's important for us to be able to know, to make plans of what time something's going to start and what time something's going to end. I have a feeling that they weren't nearly as time conscious in the first century as we are in our society today, and maybe that was a better thing for them. Being obsessed with time is not always a good thing. Stress is much higher because we're always on the rush, always on the go. There's always pressure. And people are stressed out, and of course stress causes illness. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we worship Him, it's more about the things that we can't see than it is about the things we can see. Do you realize that? If we were all blind, we could still worship God every Sunday. Without being able to see. But sometimes we're so obsessed with the physical of what we see and who we see and how things are going. We have got to learn to put more into our worship. And I'm not talking about listening to the preacher. That may be the least exciting part of worship. But hopefully if we'll listen to the scriptures, we can at least learn those scriptures and put them into our lives. Worship is more than just physical presence. It's more than just physically showing up and being here. Because you can be here every time the doors are opened and never worship God. And that's what we're supposed to be here for. We're supposed to be here to worship God for no other reason. Worship is about doing what God wants in the way God wants it. And we make a big deal about, you know, we're going to sing and not use instruments of music because that's not what God wants. We take the Lord's Supper and the collection on the first day of every week because that's what God wants. And we pray. We don't let women take leadership roles in the assembly because that's the way God has designed it to be. And those things. And those are important things, that we do those things in truth, as Jesus says. But what about the in spirit part? How many times do we come and we don't put anything into the singing? Oh, we mouthed the words. Well, we didn't put anything into it. It wasn't from the heart. Or maybe we don't even mouth the words. Maybe we just sit and listen. Now, it may be that there, you know, sometimes, you know, that for one reason or another, we can't sing. And we understand that. But why is it that sometimes we don't serve the Lord? You remember what Jesus said when Satan asked Him to bow down and worship Him? He said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." We're supposed to serve God. We are supposed to be waiting on Him as a servant would wait, hand and foot, doing whatever. Any of you ever work as a waiter or a waitress? Well, that's a tough job. You know, we've seen that when we've been out to a restaurant, and especially when they're real busy, and it's just chaos, and this person is trying to remember this table wants that and that table wants that, and they're trying to, and you know, of course, it's, you can't serve two masters. And it gets really tough on those folks that are trying to wait on others. But see, worship involves us serving or waiting on the Lord. And the good news about that is, when it comes to our worship, unlike that harried waitress who is just at her wit's end is how to do all of the things that everybody wants her to do, God's the only one that we're supposed to be waiting on and serving when we worship Him. We're not supposed to be serving every other person that's in the auditorium with us. We're not supposed to be serving the preacher or the song. I mean, we are serving God. And that's got to be where our focus is. In Psalm 130, in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You ever had one of those nights where you were watching for the morning? You paid close attention, didn't you? You just couldn't wait for daylight to get there. Maybe when you were a kid at Christmas time. Or maybe it was a big day of some other kind. Maybe it was an anxious day. You had surgery or a doctor's plan. You couldn't sleep. And you're just waiting for the sun to come up so you could get up and go on and do what you had to do that day. And the psalmist says, I wait on the Lord like that. I give Him my full, undivided attention, and nothing can distract me from Him. See, worship is waiting on and serving the Lord. That's what Psalm 130 and 5 and 6 teaches us about waiting on the Lord. And that's part of the process. And we need to do that. I know that we live in a society where everything is rush, rush, rush. Fast food. Fast cars. They want trains that go faster than the cars. They want planes that go faster than the trains. There are scientists who are dreaming of being like Star Trek, where they can just beam you from one place to another so that you can be there instantly. We want everything faster and faster and faster. But we cannot rush our relationship with God. It will not work. You know, there are some things that just can't be cooked in the microwave. They just won't turn out right in the microwave. You have to put them in the oven, and you have to wait the hour or an hour and a half or whatever it is. And then there are some things that, boy, if you really want them to be good, you got to put them in that crock pot and let them slow simmer for 8 hours. And if you want to smoke a ham, Rose, what did you say it took you? 8, 9, 12, 16, 24 hours? You got to wait 2 days on that thing if you want it smoked to perfection. And we've got to learn to be patient with God that way. We've got to learn to wait on Him. And we can learn to wait in our worship to God by, first of all, preparing to get the most from the service. And, you know, as with a lot of things, when I preach a sermon, I preach to myself first. And hopefully it hits everybody else that needs it too. But I, a lot of times I'm preaching to myself because I think about how much I've gotten caught up in these things that we're talking about here tonight. We need to prepare to get the most from the service. And here's how we can do that. Don't wait till 9:45 on Sunday morning to start deciding about worshiping God. Start the day before. Get a good night's sleep. Go ahead and lay out your clothes you're going to wear the next day or pick them out. You know, be ready to go that direction. Get up early enough that you're not rushed. Because what happens when we're rushed, especially those families who have children, then they're upset at the kids and hollering at them and hurry up and do it. And I know because I've been there. We go through it a lot of times, not just on Sunday morning, but any time we're trying to get something done. And the kids are seems like kids always get slower when you're in a hurry. And we've got to understand that it's going to take that time. So get a good night's sleep. Get up early so you have time so you don't feel rushed. If you're a breakfast person, some people aren't breakfast people, but if you're a breakfast person, go ahead and eat your good breakfast. Don't try to skip breakfast that day when you're used to having it every other day of the week. Get up early enough that you can have your breakfast. Avoid those disagreements and arguments and stressful situations that you have with your other family members that leave you on edge. Avoid those things on Sunday. And one of the ways you do that is by preparing, planning ahead so that it's not at the last minute. Go ahead and make out the check for your contribution, or if you're going to give cash, go ahead and have it counted out and ready. I see this a lot of times, somebody comes in and finally pull out my wallet and look and, okay, how much am I going to give today? The Bible teaches us to give as we have purpose in our heart. That indicates that there's some planning that's gone into it ahead of time, that we've got it ready so that when it comes time to do it, we're not rushed to do it. We've already got it ready. So go ahead and be prepared for the collection when it comes. Have your Bible and a notebook ready. Bring it with you so you can take notes or so that you have your Bible with you. And leave early enough to arrive on time so you're not coming in interrupting the flow of everybody else. Because you know, when somebody comes in that back door, everybody turns around and looks to see who it is. So plan ahead. And as I said, I'm preaching at me more than probably half the other folks here. Sit in a place where you're least likely to be diverted by the problems. I know, somebody, it's hot or it's cold or there's children that are rambunctious and one, sit where you can be least distracted. What I've found is, a lot of times if you're sitting at the back, you see everything that everybody in front of you does and it distracts you every time you see something. I found that sitting on the front row, the only thing I see is people up here. It's weird the way that works. Of course, not everybody can sit at the front. But we need to be sure, too, that those who are sitting more toward the front, that we think about the fact that the people behind us are going to be distracted if we're moving around and getting up and down and all those kind of things. And so we need to try to avoid distracting others as well. But make those plans and take a little time on Sunday morning to have a little quiet time, to calmly reflect, to prepare your mind for the fact that you're going to be worshiping. But then we can wait in worship by slowing down to meditate on God's greatness. One Frenchman noted that Americans have three idols: size, noise, and speed. And that's true to a great degree. But true worship cuts across the grain of all of those. And that's the difference between the true worship of God and a lot of the entertainment, carnival atmosphere that's going on in a lot of religious groups today. Because they're just like the rest of the culture. Worshiping God is different than that. We need to think differently. Worship is designed to help us alleviate the stress that builds up in our reckless, well, maybe not reckless, may not be the right word for it, but our busy and hazardous and haphazard lives that we live. It gives us time each week to say, this time period is sacred. This time period is set apart as a time that I'm going to spend with God. It's an appointment of sorts. I remember reading that James Garfield, at one time after he became president, he was told that there was some important thing that had to take place and they had to have a cabinet meeting. And he said, okay, well, when's the cabinet meeting going to be? And they said, it's going to be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. He said, I can't be there. And he said, the president, you've got to be there. He said, I can't. I already have an appointment. What appointment could be more important than meeting with the cabinet about this huge affair that's going on in the country right now? He said, I have an appointment to break bread with my Lord around His table that day at that time. And I'm not going to miss it. When we make up our minds that worshiping God is a priority, and that we do set aside that time and take that time to meditate, 69% of people who were polled by Time CNN said that they would like to slow down and have a more relaxed life. Worship should give us that opportunity. We have the opportunity to sit and be calm and be quiet and think about His Word for a period of time. We have that opportunity to sing praises to Him. We have that opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and to meditate on His death and what that means for us. That's a blessing. We shouldn't be thinking of worship as something that, well, we've got to go do. We ought to think, this is a blessing. This is an opportunity to get away from the hassles and troubles of the world that surround me every day. And here's a chance to just look eye to eye with the Lord for a little while. To be still and know that He is God, as the Bible tells us. And to think about His greatness. Psalm 46:10 talks about being still and knowing the Lord is God. Psalm 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Now, that doesn't suggest that we need to bring our beds in here, but it does suggest that we need to have some time of quietness. If we enjoy the songs of praise that we sing to God, do you know what a recent study found? I was listening to Dr. Dean Adel. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that particular radio program. They call him America's Doctor. He on the radio gives advice about medical things. But he was quoting a study that had been done where they took some people and they let those people listen to music that they liked. And then they also found out what kind of music they didn't like, and they made them listen to that. And after each of the two different sessions, they took checks of their blood pressure and other things that are involved with stress and with all those kind of things. And what they found was that when they were listening to the music that they enjoyed, their blood vessels opened up and the blood flowed and their blood pressure dropped. And in fact, it seemed as though they repeated doses of this would make them healthier. It would help them to de-stress. And then they also checked them after they had listened to the kinds of music that they didn't like. Most of them said that the kind they didn't like was heavy metal. I have to say some of the gangster rap would probably fall in there for me. Some of that country music, stuff I can't get hold of. But whatever it is, maybe polka or I don't know what your least favorite. But they said they listened to that. They said they found that their blood vessels constricted, and the blood pressure went up. That's interesting. If we enjoy singing songs of praise to God and enjoy listening to those songs of praise to God, then our time of worship to Him, where we come together and sing and hear those songs sung, you realize that could be better for us than some of the meditations we're taking. That was a study that has been just finished recently. But that's an amazing thing. Do you think God didn't know that slowing down, taking time, a little bit of chance to just relax for a minute, not be consumed by the problems in our lives, focus our mind on Him for a time? Don't you think He knew? He's our Creator. Don't you think He knows what makes us tick? Don't you think He knows what's best for us? Sure He does. And then we can also wait in worship by giving full attention for a full hour. You know, one consumer article said, don't buy meat in large portions. In other words, you buy a whole side of beef and you pay for that huge amount. Then by the time they cut it and trim the fat off and and then you wind up paying for all of that they throw away. They said, we're just waiting until they go ahead and cut it and then buy it that way, was what the Consumer Report said. Well, sometimes our worship seems to shrink like that. We cut off here and there and we don't pay attention here and we zone out there and we want to rush in late and rush out early. Like Ron was talking about the fellow that had found the perfect church last week in Bible class. He's talking about the fellow that had found the perfect church. He could come in after things started and slip in the back, and then he could slip out before it was over and nobody noticed him. Well, sometimes we tend to have that kind of an attitude. We want to come in and be there and then get out and not really give any attention to what's going on. But if we'll give our full attention to it, instead of being distracted by people coming late and people leaving early and people getting up and going to the bathroom, and you know, there are always things that, you know, when you have a group of two people, things are going to happen. When you have a group of 50 people, that many more things are going to happen. If you have a group of 500 people, you imagine. If you had a group of 1,000, you imagine. Things are going to happen. You can't stop it all. But we do have to set our minds toward focusing on why we're here. Meditating on the greatness of God. Not worrying about whether somebody's, this outfit doesn't match, or that person's doing this, or this thing's happening, or that thing's happening. There are going to be distractions, but we need to not be focused on the distractions. We need to focus on our meditation, on thinking about what we're supposed to be thinking about. Not worrying about, well, the song leader said we're going to sing the first and third verses, but he sang the first and fourth verses instead. Just sing. Follow the leader. Don't worry about it. You know, we get so hung up on some of those little things, or we worry about, well, the fellow that led the prayer before the bread, he didn't word that the way I think he should have. And we get hung up on that, and then we spent the whole time when we're supposed to be thinking about the Lord's death, thinking about what the fellow that was up there that led the prayer said. And we haven't worshipped God when we do that. Or we spend the whole time looking at the preacher's tie that doesn't match his outfit instead of thinking about the scriptures that fit. And we got to worry about it. We wind up sometimes with just less than giving God our best. We need to think about this. There are 24 hours in a day, and there are 7 days in a week. So you multiply that out, and you get there about 168 hours in a given week. If we followed the Old Testament practice involving tithing, which would have been 10%, we'd owe God 16.8 hours every week. Wow. That's a lot more hours than we spend in church. Can we give Him an hour here and there? He's given us all of those hours to live. But once we've got them, we're sure not going to give any of them back to Him. We're going to hang on to them and use them all selfishly. We need to think about it. You know, it's amazing. In Mark chapter 4, as Jesus was with His disciples out in the stormy sea, He actually stilled the stormy Galilean sea. Just said, "Peace, be still." And it calmed down. But you know, sometimes He says, "Peace be still" to us, and we don't even hear Him. We're not listening. We're too busy. We're too wrapped up in everything that's going on in our lives. Jesus wants us to have joy in our lives. The New Testament is full of talking about joy. It talks about coming to bring the abundant life. But instead, our attitude a lot of times is, "Well, let's hurry up and get this over with so I can go do something else." We're never going to be pleasing to God in our worship if we have that attitude. "Let's get this over with so I can go do something else." That's not going to work. We've got to replace that with, "I am so thankful to God for saving me that I can't wait to show Him how much I love Him and to worship Him and serve Him hand and foot for that time period. Sing the loudest I can, even if I'm not that good at music. But sing from the heart. Pray sincerely. Give cheerfully. Partake of the Lord's Supper reverently and in remembrance of Him," as it says on the front of the table. And then as we study our Bible together, whether it be in the Bible class setting or whether it be during the sermon, to focus on these Scriptures and study what He has to say. Worship should be a celebration of our victory over another week that Satan tried to destroy us and failed. Instead, sometimes we come mourning because we have to give God another hour. "Well, how can I get excited when I've sung all those songs before? And I've heard that subject the preacher preaching on before." You know, I've taken the Lord's Supper every Sunday for the last 20 years. How can I still get excited about coming to do that? I've heard, "Hey, that brother has prayed that same prayer. I could get up there and pray it for him. I know what he's going to say before he says it." You know? How many of you have ever eaten certain kinds of food more than one time in your life? I mean, you ever had fried chicken? Did you ever have it again? I mean, some folks will eat the same thing every day, won't they do? You like that pizza? You want that pizza every day? You like that stuff? When we enjoy something, we don't get upset because it gets repeated or because we do it again. When was the last time somebody complained because, "Can't believe it. I had dessert again tonight after supper. I am so sick of having dessert every night after supper. I'm just going to quit that." No, hey, that's what we look forward to. I'm looking for, there's a cake or there's a pie or I'm going to have some ice cream or a cookie or whatever it is. We look forward to those things. We need to view worship every week as the thing that we're looking forward to. That's my chance to go back and thank God and share with God how much I love Him and how grateful I am because He has been so good to me when I didn't deserve it. Oh yeah. We don't object when we have something that we like, even if we have it over and over again. We need to change the way we think and what we like when it comes to this area. God said, Jesus said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we worship Him in all the truth, do all the right things, but we're not worshiping Him in our spirit, then it's null and void. We've wasted His time, and we've wasted ours, and we've wasted everybody else's by not doing that, by not giving God our best. Have you ever had a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant who, instead of, and I mean, you know, if you've gone out to eat very much ever, you've had different kinds of waiters and waitresses. You have some who are as attentive. I've had some where if my water glass got half empty, they had it filled back up again. I've had others where my water glass sat there empty for 30 minutes, and they never came. And I finally had to flag them down. I'd like some more water. I'm kind of thirsty here. Well, which kind of Christian are you? Are you the one who comes serving God, anticipating and jumping out there to give Him what He wants before He even has to ask for it? We know what He wants. The Bible tells us. But before He has to say, hey, hello, come on, we're jumping out. We're ready to do it. Or are we like that other one? Oh, we're singing that song again. I'm so sick of that song. Now, I don't know. I suppose that it's possible that God might get tired of hearing some songs too. And you know which ones He gets tired of hearing? He gets tired of hearing the ones where we're singing it, but we don't mean it. He's sick and tired of hearing those kind of songs. But if we're singing songs of praise to Him, when was the last time somebody complimented you, and I mean really complimented you from the heart, and you could tell they really mean it, or thanked you from the heart, and you could tell they mean it, and you said, I am so sick of that person thanking me. See, if we thank God and praise God from the heart, He's never going to get tired of that. Even if we only knew one song, and we sang that song 10 times every Sunday, and that was the only song we knew, He wouldn't get tired of it if it was from the heart. If you're here tonight, you might want to think about whether we're obsessed with rushing through worship. Are you preparing ahead of time so that you can get the most from the service? Are you slowing down enough to take that hour and meditate on God's greatness during that time? And are you giving Him full attention for a full hour? If not, you need to start. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, maybe you're not a Christian. God will never be pleased with your worship if you're not one of His children. You need to get that right. You need to do what He's commanded you to do. Repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized to wash your sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been giving God the kind of worship that He deserves and that He desires, you may need to work on that. We may all need to work on that. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.